Animal here on August 11th, 2010. And you know, to start off today's show, I want to mention that last week I told you I was having a problem with another recruiter. And I want you to know that issue has been amicably resolved. War was declared, but it did not last long. And you know what that proves? It proves that I am a civilized man. I'm a civilized man. I take the gloves off when I have to, but I'm not looking for trouble. And when there's no provocation, I'm not provoked. And speaking of provocation, let's turn to my mailbag. Dear Recruiting Animal, I'm a regular listener, but to call myself a fan would be an overstatement. I'm a great believer in the power of debate to bring people with opposing views closer to the truth. However, to engage ideas, you often have to listen to what the other person is saying, and you are so mechanically contrary that most of your conversations, if it's fair to call them that, are nothing but absurd. When you have an articulate guest, the show is good in spite of you. When you don't, it isn't. Signed, a listener, not a fan. Well, thank you, listener. You see, I'm civilized. I'm thanking you for that. But let me ask you this. What talk show is good when you don't have an articulate guest? That's why most of them stink. They have some actress on, some actress who's promoting her TV show or a movie, and while she might be very pretty, she's usually pretty dull. Now, there are hosts who can turn a conversation with a dull guest into a fun time, but they are few and far between. And you know what? If I've got Jerry and Maureen and all the regular callers here, and if we can't, in our combined effort, force the guest to be interesting, well, maybe we're just mediocre. I've never claimed to be anything but. I am mediocre, and this is a mediocre show for mediocre people. But, as Winston Churchill, I'm almost done, as Winston Churchill famously said, all the others are so much worse. So, Jerry, can you tell us what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Where were you? You were late. You said you'd be here 30 seconds early. And I started talking already, and you weren't signed in. Can't answer that. Okay.
I don't care.
Oh, thanks. Mike Raymer, did you show up? Well, let me open some of the lines before I start asking people if they're here. Jerry got me all confused. I'll be there, he said.
Well,
I'll be there. Don't you worry about me.
Was I here?
Yeah, after. Hey, Mike Raymer, guest, are you there?
I am here, Animal. Can you
hear me? You showed up. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Okay, Mike, you know what? You know that Churchill quotation I was referring to? You ever heard it before?
I never did, Animal.
He goes, democracy, this is what Churchill actually said, democracy is the worst form of government except for all those others that have been tried. But there used to be a TV show, I think it was called Slattery's Justice or something like that, and it went like this. And he said, democracy is not the best form of government, but all the others are so much worse. And that's true about this show! Now, I got a little announcement. One sec. There's sort of a new format. I just felt I was getting in a rut, so I thought I would shorten the show. We're probably going to go for about 40 minutes, till 22.
I was hoping 20? You were going to say show's over.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you, Jerry. I know you try to wreck it and sabotage me every time, and I get all kinds of DMs telling me about you. Anyway, so we're trying to start a new format. I'm just going to experiment a little, Mike. We're going to go till about 22, then we go to the after show. There is no guest attendance on the after show. Mike, you cannot go on the after show. You got me?
Got you, Animal.
Okay.
What does 22 mean? 22 what?
12:40, 20 to 1.
Oh,
20
Canadian.
To 1, okay.
Ooh,
Canadian
okay. lingo.
That's not
okay.
good.
Why not? Let's see.
Because
what
you don't give people enough time to talk.
He can come back another time. Hey, is that Kathy Maness? Congratulations.
No, it's H.R. Margo.
Oh, it's H.R. Margo. Okay.
From Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, okay, okay. You know what? It's not an advertisement. Okay, Mike, but is it an advertisement for Mike? Mike, you're at theramergroup.com. Is that right?
That's my URL. My company is Raymer Search Consultants.
Okay, Mike, now, you know, even though Resume Strategy told me it's not going to be good that I shorten the show either because it never gets going till 25 minutes in, which means she doesn't like the part I like best, but we're going to go right to the good stuff. We're going to talk about the big issues, but first we're going to sing a song. Right, Mike?
Right, my favorite group.
You picked the song, The Beautiful Day, by U2, right?
Oh,
right.
I love that song.
Okay, I'm going to sing a little of the verse, and then you're going to come in with the chorus. I'll give you a cue, right? You
right.
ready?
Okay. Got it.
Okay, here we go. The world is collapsing, but what can I do? China's the future, and that excludes me and you. All kinds of people get killed in Sudan. Nobody cares because the crime's not American. Osama's dead, but we're losing the war, Mike. And it's a
beautiful
day.
Day.
Don't let it
Don't
slip
let it
away.
Get away.
It's a beautiful,
it's a beautiful
day.
Day.
You can touch me, Mike. Take me to the higher place. You can teach me. I know I'm not, Mike,
a
hopeless case.
There's
music
60
with that
seconds you can cut out of the show.
Not a
okay.
finger here, Animal.
Now, you know what? Now, Mike was advertising all morning that he is going to talk about sex today. And so I'm going to ask him, the first question is, Stephanie Johnson, a Denver Business School professor, says attractive women are discriminated against when they want men's jobs. For instance, director of finance, mechanical engineer, construction supervisor, security chief, hardware salesperson. In one experiment, participants were asked to pair up pictures of people with a list of jobs that those people were suited for. Pretty women were much less likely to be matched to jobs like prison guard and tow truck driver, excuse me. And they were more often paired with jobs like receptionist and secretary. I've never met a good-looking tow truck driver myself. Anyway, hiring discrimination by physical appearance is not illegal except in Michigan, San Francisco, and Washington. You cannot lodge a complaint if you think somebody else got hired because she was better looking than you. Mike, should it be illegal everywhere?
Well, let me start off, Animal, that thanks for getting me on your show again. And I sent out that tweet that the show is going to be about sex, money, and power. And yeah, the quick story is I had a college professor in graduate school. The guy had a bow tie all buttoned up, and I remember this. He walked into class one day, and he went off the blackboard, and he wrote on the brick wall, he said, if you take anything from this, remember that business and life is driven by three things, sex,
hey,
money,
Mike,
power.
You know, it's a shorter show than usual. Please get to the point, will you?
Let's talk
you want
about
to get to the point. You're talking about beauty discrimination, right?
Yeah.
And you're talking about...
I'm not talking about your professor. Answer my question!
It happens to me. Okay, go ahead.
Well, animal beauty is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? I
yeah, that sounds like a
you.
Non-answer. Does anybody else have an answer since
well,
Mike
animal,
is debating it?
Why don't you let me speak?
Okay, well, get to the point, and I'll let you speak.
Why do you wear your furry hat and your glasses in pictures? Are you trying to hide what you look like?
Normally, I would, you know, cover my cough, Mike, but you're not talking any sense, so I don't mind coughing right over
well,
you, okay?
Animal, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, and we all know that. That's what makes the world go round, right?
That's
and
a non-answer, so Mike. You're supposed to be the authentic guy who tells the truth. You be quiet for a second.
Hey,
anybody
animal,
else got an answer? Anybody else got a comment on that? Should
animal,
there be laws?
People,
Mike, you wait. Mike, you wait.
Hold on. Jerry will agree with this. If people are asked for an interview, that means they're qualified. They win a job because of the interpersonal communication and chemistry. Correct, Jerry?
Yep.
There you go. All right? So what is part of that equation? Part of it is...
Yeah, but this is over. Forget
Hold
it, Mike.
On.
Mike, Mike, you listen to me or I'll cut you off. I don't care if you're the guest.
I will cut you off.
Don't fight with me. I'm warning you. I'll put you on mute in a second.
Can I ask
Animal,
a question?
You're gonna love these
Maureen, go ahead. Maureen, go ahead.
This is a question to Mike. Okay, this is a question to Mike. What are the two other things besides sex that business...
Okay, forget it. Maureen, I'm going on to my questions. I'm losing... Mike, what area code are you? 317?
I am 973, but I blocked my number, so you may not be
able
to see.
Okay, yeah, you're 111.
Animal.
Yeah, I'll block you.
Let me give you some interesting stats here, okay? All right? In the UK, The Independent, a major newspaper...
What do we care about UK?
Wait, hold on. Said that people who are more physically attractive earn 12% more than those that are not. Hold on.
Only because it's so rare in the UK.
Hold on. In the U.S., all right, a study was done by Newsweek magazine. Men who are more physically attractive than their peers earn 5% more. Women who are more physically attractive earn 4% more. And through a man's career and their lifetime, he will earn $250,000 more than a person who may not be as physically attractive. The question is, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
You know, Mike, you're wrecking the show. I just want to tell you, I'm not joking.
So.
You are wrecking the show. You're not answering my question.
So
I'll add something on there, Mike.
Animal, let's spice it up a bit.
More attractive people, I think, are more confident.
There you go.
Confidence is a professional skill.
Well, what makes then someone, Jerry, who thinks that they're attractive by them looking in the mirror or that people tell them that they're attractive?
You know what? I'm going to put everybody who's talking now on mute in a second or two because I want to move on. You guys are not interesting. You're boring. You're boring
my audience to death, okay?
You can't
mute me, dude. It's in my
contract. You know what? You come late, and I'll put you on hold as well. You broke your contract already.
Hey, Animal, I want to bring up two topics about this issue that have been in the news, okay?
Is this Mike?
You know the woman from Citibank who was fired?
Yeah, I know about her. Yeah, she was too hot.
Right?
Yeah.
And okay, let's talk about Hooters. Can they hire men for their waitresses?
You know, Mike, do you remember I asked you a question about 2 hours ago? Do you think there should be legislation related to it? I didn't ask you for a history about it. I said, do you think there should
be
legislation?
And the answer is there can't be legislation about it because beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Because
you can't define it.
That's right.
Yeah, that doesn't hold on a second. Fine, that's good. You got an answer. I won't even argue with you, even though it was a dumb answer. Okay, here, Mike, you told me when we talked that candidates right now are a dime a dozen, right? You said, this market, people are looking for clients. But, you know, I don't find that's true because when you're working on a position, they're looking for a specific kind of person with just the right experience, the right salary level, who's ready to change a job and relocate. I don't find people falling into my lap, Mike. If candidates are a dime a dozen, what am I doing wrong? Please tell me.
Animal, are you on LinkedIn?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How many first-level contacts do you have?
Millions.
All right.
First level, 4,000. But that doesn't make a difference anymore, Mike. Haven't you been reading my articles? Everybody gets the same returns on
LinkedIn.
Animal,
you want an experience and a story from me, right?
Ahead.
That's what you want.
No, I want you to answer my question,
Mike. I'm going
to
answer your question that I said that I think candidates are very common in today's market and they're easy to find. On LinkedIn, I have over 1,000 first-level contacts. That gives me access to about 10
Mike,
million.
Mike, it doesn't matter. Everybody's got the same access. Jerry discovered it. It doesn't matter how many contacts, first-level or second-level, you have.
You
Everybody gets the same results.
We're
that
on a search.
True.
We're
but
on
you know
a search from a client. She gives me the specs. I get onto LinkedIn, and with a matter of minutes, I'm finding candidates who fit the profile. All right. Now, how do I contact that candidate without their email address
or their phone number? Oh, that's tough. You look up the company name in the phone book.
And what if they're not working?
Go ahead. Tell me that.
And what if they're not working? Then how do you do it?
How do you? No, you tell me. You tell me. You're the guest.
Very simply, go into whitepages.com, put in the person's name in the general geographic area, and up comes 2, 3, 4 people with the same name and phone numbers. In this case, this candidate happened to be in Connecticut, got his home phone number, called in, and on the voice message was this person, and the name of the wife actually left the message. And she said, we're not available, but if you'd like to talk with me, here's my cell phone. So I called up her cell phone number. She happened to be a corporate recruiter for Johnson & Johnson. And I asked her for her husband's cell phone number. And I called him. And with a matter of minutes, I'm zeroing in to the exact candidate that I'm looking for. And he sent me his resume. So the question and how the world is changing now is that if I can do it so easily, then companies can do it that easily.
No, Mike, you didn't answer my question. I can't do it that easily. I can't find people like that. What am I doing wrong, Mike? How come they're not falling in my lap like that?
Animal, after the show, we'll give you a quick...
No, we're on the show right now. I'm on the show now.
Go into your LinkedIn. Do exactly what I did. Put in the keyword.
It doesn't work. Oh, Mike, you think I don't do it? It's not so easy. You're full of it, Mike. That's not true. What you said that candidates are a dime a dozen is not true. Maybe they are for you.
And we're having a heck of a time getting people for them. We've got product directors and sales reps, and we tweet and we do all kinds of stuff, and we can't get them. I agree.
Stop tweeting.
Oh, Jerry's back on Twitter.
I love Twitter. And you know what?
Yeah, baby.
The right people should be on there, or they should be able to refer people. I mean, these are really great openings. And I'm blown away that we can't find the people.
In this market. First-level contact you have on LinkedIn.
That doesn't make a difference, Mike. You don't understand. LinkedIn changed. It doesn't matter how many first-level contacts you have. Jerry discovered.
Me, Animal. Anyone after the show want to give me a call, and I'll show you how I work through it and put in the key.
Mike, listen to me. Jerry discovered that it doesn't matter. You can run, you've got 1,000, go talk to someone who's got 2 contacts or 0 contacts, and they'll get the exact same returns as you.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how many first-level contacts you have. Ask Happy Careers.
So, Animal, let's take the discussion of what can we as recruiters do that
No, HR I got, I'm changing, I'm changing the topic. I'm in charge. Now, listen to me.
Man.
There's another question that Janice raised and Jerry also raised. If someone is not on LinkedIn, does that mean they're a loser? They're not smart enough to be where everybody should be putting their profile these days? Mike, you first.
Well, look, here's the big picture, right? Let's talk about the U.S.
I don't want the big picture. I want the small picture. You're into the big picture too much for me.
All right.
Just answer my question.
To answer your question, I think that a professional, should be on LinkedIn. If they're
mean
that they're a bad candidate or a bad person? Not necessarily.
They don't know what's happening, Mike. It means they're not up on what's going on, and that's the perception of that is bad.
Let's just say,
I'll disagree with you there, Janice. There are a number mid to senior level people who are just too busy.
Let's say that you're recruiting for a sales manager's role.
Mm-hmm.
You would think someone in sales should be on LinkedIn, right? A sales professional. I can see engineers not being on there, or your local veterinarian, or your coffee shop barrister, but sales. You would think that a sales professional is on LinkedIn. And even a little bit deeper, why over the years, I'm sure they've been invited by many of their contacts to be on LinkedIn. What decision led them to think, no, that sucks. I don't want to be a part of that. If they're in sales.
Jerry, I agree with you. I agree with you, but it's not required. You know, look, Animal didn't want a big picture, but let me give you the real quick. How many are on LinkedIn globally? 60 million, right? There's 5.6 billion people in the world. Less than 1% of people are on LinkedIn. If someone's not on LinkedIn, does that make them a bad person or a bad
candidate?
You know what?
Let me come in here, okay? First of all, I agree with Mike. I disagree with Jerry about this. I don't think you're a bad person if you're not on LinkedIn.
You're a bad person. I'm saying in some professions, it would be obvious that you should, if you're practicing your profession, be aware of LinkedIn and be on there in some way.
Okay,
I'm not
I don't think it means you're an idiot. I agree with you, Jerry. You should be there. But I don't think it means it's an unrecruitable candidate, someone you wouldn't want to present.
I haven't said that.
Well, that's what you implied.
No,
but I think the perception
of
not being state-of-the-art is critical. The perception
I look at all of these things in context.
There are people who don't even know what LinkedIn is, and they're job seekers.
Yeah, the other thing, Mike,
Mike,
you listen to me, Mike. There's 6 billion people in the world. Most of them are ignorant peasants. A tiny fraction of that are people that we can actually play. So don't tell me about the 6 billion. That's way too big a picture, okay?
Animal, this is the process that I go through very quickly when we have an open position. We go through our database first, then we go through LinkedIn, then we'll tweet and Facebook out the position, and then we start recruiting the old-fashioned way. You know what I mean, Jerry, right? Okay? So that's the process that we go through. So it's a combination of advertising, marketing, and recruiting using new tools and the old-fashioned way.
What's your most successful approach?
The most successful approach, Jerry, is really a mix of the three. However, the best candidates, those that are more exclusive, that are high potential.
Don't say passive. Don't say passive.
No.
Oh.
Or the old-fashioned way.
That was a close call.
No, I'm not going to say passive. No, not. So it's the old-fashioned way before the Internet where we're researching and we're calling up people. And these are the people that aren't necessarily looking for a new position. These are the people that are the higher performers.
Okay, I'm in charge. We're moving on. You're not in charge. Listen to me, Mike Kramer. You're not in charge on my show.
Hey,
next
Animal,
question.
Animal, can
next question.
Can I tell you something, Animal?
No.
Just, I understand you're trying to squeeze the format down to 40 minutes for some unbeknownst reason. But don't cut off good conversation.
That wasn't a good conversation. We just standard stuff. We know already.
Let it bloom a little
Jerry,
bit, will you?
Start your own fishing and whatever it is, hillbilly show, okay? Don't tell me how to run mine, okay?
Oh.
Now listen, Mike.
See,
Mike,
I can take it. I can take that. I am
Mike.
A hillbilly.
Mike, if you've got an unemployed candidate, if you've got a candidate who's unemployed, right? You with me, Mike?
I am with you.
And you're the employer. And even if you're the recruiter, okay, you know that guy needs a job or that woman needs a job. You can actually lowball them on the salary. Let's say should an employer give them offer the lower end of the salary? It makes sense, doesn't it? Because you can get them for lower because they're a little on the desperate side, right?
Yes, Animal. There's salary compressioning happening in this market.
What?
Yeah.
Regular
rocket science there.
Go ahead.
No, really. It's a good idea to offer them lower than you might have to offer somebody who's already employed.
It depends
that right?
on what their earning history has been, Animal. If someone is unemployed for 6 months to a year, and they were earning $200,000 a year, and income's a position that's paying, say, $120,000, it depends on a whole series of factors. However, many people will not accept a lower salary position because they may have alternatives. So this is a big conversation here. Give me more of a scenario. Do you want me to give you a scenario?
I'll give you one right now just based on what you said. If you are referred to somebody, you've got a job for $200,000, let's say for $120,000, and someone refers you to somebody, a CEO or general manager or whatever it was, or a CFO, and when you're talking to him, you find out he was earning $200,000 before, but this job's $120,000. Are you going to say to him, listen, Bill, or listen, Mary, you haven't been working for 6 months. This is time for you to get real. Take this money. Would you say that?
I wouldn't say it that way. I mean, we'll talk about their compensation. We'll talk more about where they are in their life, in their career. What will they accept? Part of it, like what Janice was bringing up, is a perception problem. We don't want to refer a candidate who is overqualified that was earning significantly more than what the position is paying because the client won't view that in the right way. We really have to position it in a certain way. So, look, rule of thumb. If someone is earning 20-25%, if they had been earning 20-25% more than the current position, then yes, I may refer them. But if they're, if it's a significant difference, that person will be overqualified and won't be a fit for the job, whether they're employed or unemployed.
I'll throw a little different scenario in here. What if, and I'll just use round numbers for ease of discussion. Let's say that your unemployed candidate was most recently at, say, $100,000. The company can pay $120,000. But the guy, let's say he wants $110,000 or $115,000. Is an offer of $100,000, is that a lowball offer? Or is that a reasonable offer?
It depends on, again, where he is and what his – reasonable is in the mind of the person. I don't know, you know, depending on the scenario. No. To answer your question, Jerry, no, I don't think it's unreasonable.
Okay.
That's the game. Since when do we not know that that is how it works? That's what negotiations are for. We've been doing that forever. I've been doing that forever.
It's not we. It's animal.
Animal, can I ask you a question?
And this,
go ahead.
Jerry, your answer
Mike
comes
Gastringer?
Down to how,
go ahead.
How much does this client really want this candidate? Okay? If they gave us a range up front,
mm-hmm.
okay? I mean, let me give you a quick story. Animal wants stories, and we were on a search for a CFO. They gave us the guidelines that they were targeting 200, maybe go up to 210, 220,
mm-hmm.
right? We referred a candidate that the president wanted,
mm-hmm.
you know, a recruited passive candidate with a competitor firm. He was earning 270 on his base. Guess what? All of a sudden, they could go up to 285.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it depends on how valued that candidate is. Do they really want this candidate? Is that person employed or unemployed? Yes, it puts – if someone is unemployed, they're in a lesser negotiating position. So they shouldn't expect the top of the range. But I think working with a good intermediary, a good recruiter, a good search consultant, that person will help position them and help them negotiate the highest salary. But going in, part of – is to manage the expectation about where this comp can go. Right? And you know this, Jerry. If we're given guidelines that a position can go up to 200,000 and that's the absolute top, is that what we're going to say to a candidate, employed or unemployed, right off? No. What we're going to do is manage those expectations and say, look, this position might pay 160 to 180, and we know for a stellar candidate they can go to 200.
Hey,
so
Animal, where have you heard that before?
Clients are doing the same
okay,
with
so
us.
Mike, there's another issue. Mike. So you go when you present a job, you lowball the salary to the new recruit. If they're willing to go up to 200, you tell them the lower end so you can have room to negotiate up. Is that what you just said?
That's
most
recruiting 101, dude.
Expectation.
Let me ask him, Mo Jerry. You're not running this show. If you think it's too dumb,
I kind of am. But go ahead.
You got your chance on the after
yay.
Show.
I'm
Animal,
tweeting that out, Jerry.
It's not just base salary here, right, Animal? There's a lot of components to it.
Mike, can't you answer a question straight? What happened to you since you were on last time?
We're given guidelines of
everything's complicated.
I'm going to give you an example. I'll tell you straight. If we're given guidelines that we'll pay 200 to 240 on a base, we will say to the candidate, it will pay in the range of 200 to 220. So, yes, we will give us a margin to move up toward the end game.
Yeah, man. And
so,
you tell
so
the
wait
client
a second,
that
wait
the
a second.
Looking for a little higher.
So
the
people
client
like...
is managing our expectations, Animal. They're not giving us the top of the range either. It's one of the key questions we should be asking up front. For an A candidate with all the criteria and fit, what's the highest that we could offer? And they'll give us a number. And it depends on your relationship with the client of whether they'll tell you the straight and honest. But here was the story I told you about the 270, right? The two, you remember?
Yeah.
200.
Yeah.
And the candidate was earning 270, and they said they can go to 285. And that's one of my best clients.
That's pretty rare, though, isn't it, Mike? Mike, a scenario like that is very rare, wouldn't you say?
It is rare. It's rare. But it is an example that there is always room to move on the upside for the right person, given that perhaps it's not with a large corporation when we're working within salary bands. That's another issue.
Okay,
right?
Hold on. Let me just see. Does anybody want to comment on that who hasn't had a chance to speak yet?
Yeah, I'd like to jump in here, Animal. So, Mike, I'm not a third-party recruiter. I'm a corporate consultant. But are you not – I mean, one of the challenges is that companies are really trying to lowball candidates right now, and they're not thinking longevity, and they're not thinking retention. So are you advising your clients that, listen, if you lowball this guy, chances are he's going to be gone in 6 months or a year when this market turns around?
That is a great topic and an important question to bring up, and yes. And the smart companies know that, because as this market turns, right, and if you lowball and get a top-tier canna at a lower price, as the market turns, and it's starting to, right, then yes, the compensation that's offered needs to be thought of from a retention standpoint as well. Because 6 months or a year down the road, you want this candidate getting calls and seeing that they can do, you know, their own quick compensation analysis through salary.com, through payscale.com, and see that they're underpaid. So, yeah, what an offer. We need to counsel and talk with our clients.
Mike, let me interrupt. Mike, let me interrupt, and Mike Aestringer as well. Let me interrupt. So, but what Mike said, what Mike said is, if we've got these career counselors listening, like Janice or Resume Strategy or Value Into Words, whomever, and you can advise your candidates then, or the people you're coaching, the job hunter, that there's more. I don't think that's fair. If they go back and they say, you know, we heard Mike Raymer talking, and no matter what the recruiter tells you, there's always a higher top end. I don't think that's always true. Would you say that, Mike, that it's fair for them to say, I heard Mike Raymer and Jerry say that there's always more money there. Don't believe whatever the recruiter presents first.
And in this market, the smartest companies are not lowballing their candidates. They are giving them a reasonable to higher offer.
Mike, you didn't answer my question. Please listen to me. I'm begging you. You just told me that if you got a position that's paying 180, you tell the candidate when you first recruit them that it's paying 160. So if I was Janice, I would go out and tell my next client. She's not. Maybe she knows already. I would tell my next client, hey, you know what? The recruiter called you for that job. Just wait. There's more money there. You know, they got more. They're not telling you the whole story.
Let me just say something real quick.
Okay.
When we teach our people to negotiate, we always give them a good reason. You don't ask for more money just for the heck of it. You've got a good reason to ask for more.
Okay, but there's more there. So if they say, Janice, you know, Mike Raymer called me and he's telling me about a job that, you know, is paying 160 and I was earning 200 before, you can say, look, Bill, listen to Mike. There's probably at least 180 there for you, and maybe even more if they love you. That's fair based on what he just told us, isn't it?
And look, Animal, many parameters in an offer package. Salary is a key one and perhaps the most important one, because everything is driven off the base in terms of bonuses, increases. So we're just talking about this one component. But other components can be negotiable, okay? So we have to know where someone is, where their expectations
are. Okay, Mike, you're just complicating everything way too much. Let me see if there's anybody else who's on who'd like to talk who hasn't had a chance yet.
Can I just say one thing? I've got to go.
Go ahead.
Mr. Employer, I don't want a number to be the reason I don't come to work. I don't want a package to be the reason that I don't come to work. However, because of XYZ, I need so-and-so additional.
Janice, okay. It depends on the competitive situation.
Agree.
We're at a candidate-rich environment. That candidate should be head and shoulders and a 10 out of 10 compared to their other candidates who might be a 9 or an 8.
And we've got to teach them that also. But what I'm saying is this. You can always ask and be told no as long as you don't kill the deal. And by prefacing with what I just said, you don't kill the deal.
Very true, and that's why working through a good third party can help massage and counsel both sides and come to a reasonable offer. I agree, Janice.
Anybody else want to talk?
Gotta go,
thank
guys.
You, Janice. Thank you, Janice. Anybody else want to talk who hasn't had a chance?
Bill
Borman is making
interesting
Twitters.
Bill Borman?
This is me. How are you all doing?
Hey, thanks, Bill. Go ahead. One sec, Bill. Maureen, did you say something as well?
No, I said Bill's making some interesting tweets on Twitter.
Okay, well, now he's on the line, Maureen. Thank you. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, there's just two questions I want to ask in terms of recruiters trying to screw the candidates down. Why would they do that when it reduces our fee, number one? I don't understand the logic in
that.
We're
not talking necessarily about the recruiter, Bill. We're talking about the employer, okay?
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay, but from a recruiter's point of view.
No, it's. I'll answer that question, Bill. It's because through the process, you're able to keep bringing the candidate up a little bit each time that there might be a concern or they. I mean, people always like to be more excited the more they learn and the further the process goes along. If you start them off with, hey, if you go in there and you nail everything, maybe you could get $100,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill, and to answer your question, Bill, I will always have a very upfront and genuine conversation with the candidate about compensation expectations. So I will never, quote, screw the candidate. They will always be well-informed through the process. So I am never in that position, nor do we ever get to the point where a candidate is lowballed, because we talk about all these topics right up front, and they know the range going in and what's possible. And part of my interview prep is, you know, some counseling like this, that you're interviewing not just for the position, but the level of the salary and the offer. So if you're a strong candidate and there's a distant number two, you put yourself in a better negotiation position, which I'll be able to help you and maximize the offer in the end. So, Bill, there's an extreme amount of candidate care that I do in my business. I almost look at candidate and client as equal weight, and that comes to, you know, working at more mid to senior levels.
Okay,
but,
you know,
let's
have shorter answers, okay? Let's have shorter answers.
Bill, also, Bill, you're also not trying to get the client to offer the lowest offer. So we're not trying to see if
I agree with that. Jerry, say, I agree with that. I was just listening to the conversation and hearing everyone saying about screwing the candidate and the recruiter.
We're not talking about screwing them. We didn't talk about screwing them, Bill. I never used that term.
By that, Bill meant just kind of tighten them down a little bit.
Well, that's
I just wanted to speak from a recruiter's point of view. It didn't make a lot of logic that people would do that. The other question I had for Mike is that what I'm seeing is that if you like that the people who are getting employed or where the real competition is for candidates is amongst the employed or amongst people still employed. How much are you finding that, Mike, and what impact does that have on salary levels?
Rephrase that a bit, if you could, Bill.
I didn't understand it either. But hold on a second, Bill. Is Margo still here?
Yes.
Okay. Bill, before we go ahead, you do an ad for HR Friday. Go ahead.
Okay. Hire Friday, boot camp, your boots on the ground approach to your online job search. I have a workshop coming up on August 20th. This coming up, Hire Friday. And it's going to be terrific. Thank you. And
what website? Where do they go? What website do they go for it? What website?
Okay. They go to http://hrmargo.com, or they can call area code 513-509-7762. Because unemployment is hard, Hire Friday can help. And I am going to offer them a preferred
HR, they can go to HR Margo. They can go to HRMargo.com for information. Thank you, Margo. Bill, back to you.
Wait a minute. Margo, do you want to make an announcement here on
I was actually going to make the announcement that I am going to be giving out a preferred recruiters list, executive coaches list based on subset industry, so people know what industry to go for. And then I'm also going to give out a preferred job board listing and Twitter.
Yes, I'm running a show here, Maureen. You don't buy in when I tell Bill to start talking.
Do you want to ask Animal anything publicly?
Bill,
yes.
Bill,
Animal.
Bill, my show.
Animal. I'm your Animal, will you marry me?
I'm going to cut you off. That's what I'm going to do. I've been trying for a while.
I think this borders on
the right. Hey, I have to ask you every 2 weeks. You got to ask.
Yeah,
right?
Your area code 513?
No, I'm area code 614.
Thanks. Bill, your turn.
Wow.
Mike.
I'm lying.
I'll come back to that question. Now we'll finish the advert section. I'll come back with the question. what I'm seeing in the UK is that a lot of the people who are getting employed, where the real competition is, are employed at the moment. That's where the skill shortages are. That's having a positive impact on salaries. How much are you finding that, and how do you deal with that?
I agree, Bill. I agree. Traditionally, before we've come through this 9.5% unemployment in the
Hold
U.S.
Hold on a second. Did you just agree with me? Could you tweet that out for me? And carry on?
I'll do it, Bill. I'll frame that up on the wall. I'm doing it right now.
I'll agree with you more often than not, Bill. It's part of the fun
of disagreeing, right?
No, clearly, right. Look, candidates that are employed are more valued than those that are not because they're in a better negotiating position, period, in all markets, right?
I think so. So I think the conversation about salaries and things like that, the real battle is going on for the employed talent. That's why, offer declines are up and everything else. How do you manage that through the process?
Like we've always done before this high unemployment. I mean, same rules apply, Bill. If someone is currently employed, they're in a stronger negotiating position, and the candidate or the client will know from the perspective and the thinking that this candidate is working through in their mind. It's one of the great value.
You know what? I'm losing the show. I'm losing control. I let Margo talk on, and I let Bill talk on. I don't know what you're talking about. Bill, ask me the question if it's not answered yet. I want to take care of it. What is it?
Man. No, just if most of the people are in most of the war for talent is going on for employed people.
Yeah.
Isn't that raising salary levels? Not great for the unemployed, but isn't that raising salary levels?
I don't know if it's raised them, and we don't. I don't know, and nobody else knows either. Maybe in England you know, but we don't know here. I told Bill at the beginning, it's hard to find qualified people for jobs. Although, I mean, I told Mike says it's not hard. He just has to go on LinkedIn in 2 minutes, and he finds the people he needs. Okay,
well,
Bill.
The problem with that question is that there's no single market for talent. There's all different niches, and every niche has its own challenges and its own specific
Dave
issues.
Dave Manister.
Thanks.
That
Kingfish.
Is absolutely correct. Who said that?
Dave Manister.
Dave is right.
The Kingfish. Okay, next question. You know what? How do I let the show just get out of my hands? I'm way too polite. That's my problem. I know
it's
it is.
It's a respect issue.
It is. I am too respectful of you guys. I don't know why.
No, that's not what I
next
meant.
Question.
Because you love us.
Next question. Nailing the clients, Mike. Let's say you're very enthusiastic about a candidate you recruit from LinkedIn or the old-fashioned way, and you're, working with an HR person. She or he is coordinating the search. And so, you tell her about him, and she does a phone screen. She comes back to you and says, you know what, he kind of lacks energy. You don't agree. You're very enthusiastic. What are you going to do?
Animal, that would never happen up front, because if I know that there's a phone screen, this candidate will be managed. We will role play. If I will know through conversation that person would lack energy. And so we will talk about it, that if you're interested in an in-person meeting, you're going to have to present yourself in such a way where not only that you – describe the skills that you have, but you show that personality and the energy. Here's some quick stats on that, which are very interesting. In an in-person meeting, right, 70% is visual. 20%.
Mike, that's baloney. I've proved it a million times. And you know what? I have to tell everybody, I sent Mike a bunch of questions early so he could think them through, and he goes out and does research on Newsweek and Wikipedia and all these crap places.
Your
answers. I don't want statistics.
What I'm telling you, Animal, is what I learned early in my career in a management program.
You know that
so
stuff
I'm just
about
trying to share information with
that
people
is that not
help
what you
them.
Said is not true about that, 90% verbal.
70% is visual, 20%
that's
is voice,
baloney.
10%
that's
is
crap.
Content.
And you know what?
Now when there's a phone screen and you're on the phone, then 70% is voice. So voice carries weight.
What's
and
the other 30%?
Mike, let me interrupt you here. Mike, let me interrupt you. You're on the wrong topic. Let me get a point in. The point is
on
not
phone,
whether Mike.
Is voice.
No, you let me talk. Whoever's talking, be quiet.
No.
Mike, I'm going to cut everybody off. Mike, the point is, you might not find that guy lacking energy, right? But the stupid HR person does. What are you going to do about it? It's not whether you coach the guy or not.
Right.
Animal, you coach the person up front. You talk with them how important it is to present them with
Mike,
energy.
Mike, you like the energy of the guy. You don't think he lacks energy. The stupid HR person does.
Yeah, we're saying it's a misread by the HR person. It's a misread.
Well,
HR people aren't stupid.
Well,
here.
Not all of them, but this one happens to be, okay?
Animal, here's what you can do in our business in recruiting, and everyone on the phone who is in recruiting understands this. We do the best we can and set the table as best we can. Once we put two parties together, hold on. Once we put two parties together, right, and after that phone screen happens, and if that person doesn't have the energy or the conviction and the HR person reads that, then what can we do, right? Should I go back to my HR client and say, well, you misread someone and that you really do have the energy? Look, we threw up the deck of cards and they landed where they are. Can I overcome that? Usually not. But what we can control is the upfront process.
Yeah, okay, you told us about that already. So you're saying that if you get somebody you think is really good and your contact at the company doesn't recognize it, you won't go over that person's head or something like that, for instance.
Look, you're talking about different scenarios. I tend not to work with HR people.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't say I do not. I work with the executives. And if
uh-huh.
I've got a great relationship with the executive,
yes.
And I can say, look, Jim, I strongly believe in this candidate. I've met him in person. He's excellent. He may not have had the experience on the phone to present himself, but I would go to bat for him, and I believe he's in the top 5% of the candidates that you're going to meet, and I strongly recommend an in-person meeting. Now, that could shift his thinking depending on my relationship with the client. Can it shift HR's thinking? That's harder to do. Again, depends on the relationship that you have and your track record with the client.
Mm.
Agreed?
I don't know about that. Listen, Mike, but what if when you're coaching the guy in this pre-screen, with this pre-screen coach, you say, look, make sure you're not driving your car on your cell phone when they call you for the phone screen. Do you actually cover stuff like that? Because, you know, some candidates do dumb things. They say, sure, I'm going to be free at 4 o'clock. And it turns out, yeah, they're free. They're driving on their vacation. They got a car full of kids or something like that, and they're on their cell phone.
Getting to the topic of interview preparation, whether it's on the phone or in person. We go through all the detail. Yes.
Okay, but you go out of your way and you tell them, make sure you're not in your car, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So Mike, you know.
I have to run. Can I ask you a quick question before I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Mike, you made a very interesting comment a second ago. You said that you don't typically work with HR, you work with the executives. I'm dealing with this exact scenario right now. What if it's a company's process that you have to work through HR? Are you walking away from that client, or are you working within their process?
Great question. Again, depends on a bunch of different parameters. Yes, I do work with HR also, but normally the client development process is through the executive, and then once we have some credibility of the executive refers to their HR line manager. So we do work with them, but they tend not to be the point person on the search, but some do. Did I answer your question?
And you're okay with that, and if that manager says, listen, you got to work with our HR or internal recruiting department, you'll do that if that's what's required.
Yes, if that's required with an established client, and we'll learn about their whole interview process. You know, very important to me up front in a search is relative competition, right? If we're working on contingency, which my firm primarily works on retained, but we do work contingency, if I'm working with an HR person and that HR person is working with internal sources, external sources, right, I want to know what my relative competition is. How many other firms are they working with? What other candidates are being considered internally? So that is my big issue with HR, because they're spreading out the net, and then I lose some of the control and credibility in the process. However, if I've got an excellent relationship with an HR person, they give us an exclusive, and I know that they've
you know what? You've been boring the hell out of me for the last 5 minutes, okay? I don't know what you're talking about, okay? We're moving on. Mike Astringer, I gave him a break because he said I wasn't letting you talk enough. I let people talk too much. I just get suckered into it every time. Listen, okay, So you answered that. I have one more question. When your HR person or your great executive client misreads the candidate, you think I worked my ass off to find this guy, and he has, you know, now I've urged him to see the person. He doesn't want to see my candidate. But what do you say when you go back to the candidate?
Answer.
Animal, I don't know about the quality of that question. Do you want to? Why? If I refer a candidate to a client and they
and he doesn't want to see him, what do you say to that? What do you say when you go back to turn off the candidate? I want to hear.
What do I say to the candidate?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what did the client say first, though? When you said, why don't you want to see him? I believe he's exactly who you told me to go find.
Yeah, I mean,
what did the client
animal,
say?
There's a process here in the sense of did we really define what the client is looking for in the right candidate? And part of that, the questioning there, is to ask, please, you know, describe your ideal candidate, background, experience, whether industry experience is important, credentials, a whole – do they want a candidate internally?
Yeah, you get a whole profile of what you're looking for. We understand.
Yeah, yeah. So now, you know, I am very specific and particular with the candidates that I refer. So you might know this, Jerry, or others.
You never get turned down. Is that what you're coming to? Is that what you're coming to? Is that your point? Your candidates never get rejected?
We haven't tracked it, but I would say 4 of 5 are selected for an interview. Now, if they're not selected for an interview, I'll go back to the client, and we'll have a discussion, and we'll say, why wasn't this candidate selected? What are they missing?
Yeah.
Okay? What are they missing on paper? Then if I interview them and I say, you know, it's not on the resume, but they in fact do have this.
You know, Mike, you're dragging this out. Let's say, go back to the situation we had where there just wasn't the chemistry was there, right? What do you say when you go back to the candidate?
Animal, this is why technology and can't control chemistry.
Yeah, just send them an email. You're out.
You know, Mike, does it have to take me 10 minutes to pull this out of you? That's a shame. Answer my question.
What's your specific question, Animal?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I said when you have a good candidate, you present him to the client, and there's no chemistry. The client says, I don't have the same impression about it. I phone screened him. I don't have the same impression as you do. What do you say when you go back to the candidate?
What do I say when I go back to the candidate? I will tell them that. I will say specifically, they didn't necessarily like your presentation, your energy level, that you didn't communicate the points that they were looking for. But, you know, you're asking me a question, and it doesn't happen to us that often. It does.
Yeah, okay. Does that mean you can't answer it?
Wait a minute.
Does that mean you can't answer it?
You
no,
cannot,
that means he's no. perfect
Animal.
Animal.
Animal,
he's answering a question
chemistry.
With a question.
Animal, you cannot control chemistry, and this is part of the art of what we do.
Right.
And this is why there's a send out to placement ratio. Hold on. You want me to finish? This is why there's a send out to placement ratio. Right. Okay. That's why we need to refer 3, 4, 5 candidates.
Yeah. And so I was just asking, how do you turn the candidates who strike out off?
But if
you
understand
the
culture of the company, if you understand the culture of the company, and you
have to. No. Mike, please, listen to me. Get to the point. How do you turn them off?
The mystery is here, though, Animal.
Okay.
You tell the guy why he's out.
What's the deal here? Good, okay.
Yeah, you got to make them better. Just like Jerry said, you got to help the candidates be better. Hire Friday. I hope you're listening.
Jerry didn't say that at all.
Here's an example from a real working desk, okay? My client said, hey, there just was not a culture match. Several things throughout the whole process just told us he wasn't going to fit in. I called the guy right up. Hey, man, looks like there wasn't really a culture and chemistry match. He says, yeah, that's pretty much what I thought, too.
Thank
you. So, I mean, what else would I have – why would you have not said – what you know. I just don't
very bright.
Right.
So Animal, anybody else got anything to say who hasn't had a chance to talk yet?
Animal,
anybody else?
In the preparate, hold on. Up front in preparing the candidate.
You know, Mike, you had your chance on this one.
No.
Anybody else? Mike, don't make me get rude. Anybody else want to talk who hasn't had a chance?
Kathy Manis has an announcement to make.
Go ahead, Kathy. Okay, she's not here. We're going to the after show, Mike. Thank you!
you realize he played that song for us.
Yeah, yeah. That's Jerry's favorite song.
That's the same song every week. Don't get excited.
That's Jerry's favorite song.
Is Rayanne, was that you?
Yes.
No,
hey,
it's Margo.
Haven't seen you around. What's going on?
I've been around. I'm sorry. I work.
Yeah. I hear you have
really?
A new place or something.
You hear what?
You've got a new home out there on the beach?
I do.
Oh.
I just moved.
Oh,
cool.
I'm coming to visit.
Congratulations, Rayanne.
You're on the beach, Rayanne?
I'm on the beach. I have an incredible view of the ocean.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From my bed.
We're
going to
have an animal show reunion at your house.
Sounds like
there
a plan.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll be posting pictures. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Cool.
What did you guys think about the show today? Let's just get right to it.
Good show.
A little crazy. It's been a while since I've been on the show. I forgot what it was like. I got whiplash.
Rayanne, what score would you give the guest, Mike Raymer?
You know, Mike really had to fight against Animal quite a bit. I only listened to the second half, so I can only score the second half. But I think he did pretty good. But there was a little tendency to not answer the question right away. There's a lot of build-up.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just freaking get to the answer?
A little too political.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, let me brace you for my answer. I don't need a brace. Just tell me the answer.
Right.
So I'm going to have to give Mike a 6.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say 7.
No.
I thought that's what I thought you were going to say, but you said 6 then.
Animal?
Yeah.
Animal was a little harsh.
I didn't like anything about what he was doing today, but
yeah, a little harsh. I'm going
to
have to
I don't
want
to influence your score.
6-2. 6-6.
Ooh.
Six.
I didn't like anything about that, but I don't want to influence you at all.
Is that Manister?
I'd already made
that
my
was
decision.
Manister.
I know how Jerry works. So.
Manister, what are your scores? How are you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, but I did dial in pretty late, so I missed almost all of the show, so I can't really give scores.
Well, just what you did here.
No, you got to give a score just based on your synopsis of your... Sorry, man.
Of what you did here.
Yeah.
That wasn't my synopsis. That was me being you, Jerry.
Oh.
I was paraphrasing what you had just said. I hated the whole thing, but I don't want to influence you at all.
Oh.
You're not going to be on the Fast Company influencer list.
What's that?
I think he is on it.
I'm kidding.
So are you not giving a score, Manister?
Yeah, I really didn't hear enough to give a score.
Mm-hmm.
But he heard enough to make a comment. What does that say?
No,
I made a comment about what Jerry just said. I heard that loud and clear.
All right, who else is here with a score?
I'm with you, Jerry.
Hey,
Margo.
Let's go with Bill Borman.
I thought Mike was a 6.
Yep.
I'll give Mike a 6. I thought, same as Rand, there was a lot of dancing and politics around the questions. But he did agree with me on something, so I'll give him a 6 on that. And he didn't tweet it out, though, which I asked for. For Animal, I would give him a 7 today. I thought he was okay, but he was hurting my ears a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
There
was a lot of pain in the show.
I didn't understand the whole, hey, I'm going to have a shorter show. And that's the part that you missed, Dave, is... he's only going to do a 40-minute show now. So he spent his whole time trying to shorten the show, which in reality only shortened every one of the conversation or answers or whatever you would call those, replies there. I didn't like it. So my scores are going to be Animal, 5. Raymer, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 7.
I think I'm going to say 6. No, I'm going to say 7.
No.
I'm saying
7. Influence, but...
No, Animal didn't give him a shot to answer his questions, you know? I mean...
Yeah, but he didn't answer when he did get a shot.
4.
some people have a little preamble to their answer so they can kind of.
Oh, my God.
So they can kind of massage the question.
It's attached to the Constitution, right? That's it.
Yeah. All right, who else has a score in there?
HR Margo.
Hi, HR.
I think Mike Raymer, 8.5. And the reason why I give him an 8.5 is that I think and he answered a question with a question, which is what lawyers do. Okay,
yeah,
then I give
it right.
And you still give him an 8?
I thought he was diplomatic and very smart. His answers were spot on.
We're not talking about his smartness. We're talking about how he did this in the show.
I believe you're free to evaluate the guest any way you want.
I think I'm free to choose my score, Rayan. I'm sticking to it.
I know, Margo. I'm teasing you.
Okay.
I know.
Give us a score on Animal.
8. But my hedging answer.
The same show that we heard.
Yeah.
No, my hedging answer on
Animal.
Okay.
Well,
maybe
I guess you are pretty easy to please because you keep asking Animal out.
Yeah.
I don't ask him out. I ask him to marry me.
Same thing.
I don't want to date him. I want to marry him.
It lasts about as long as it
takes. What are you going to do if he says yes?
Move to Toronto and we'll summer in Cincinnati.
There you go.
And have babies.
And
yeah.
Have puppets. No, I'm too old to have babies. I'm 52 years old.
You can adopt.
I'm not
like
having
Madonna.
Babies. I'm older than Madonna. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks for your scores, Margo. Next.
Yeah.
Jerry. I'll go. I'll go 5 across the board.
Andy, you didn't even say a word the whole time.
You know, I was napping during.
There was too much screaming and stuff going on.
I had it on speakerphone. Occasionally, I would drool and listen.
Oh my God!
I was expecting. You know, I thought it was a 40-minute show, so I really thought Animal might be resigning from Blog Talk at the end. I thought that was what we might get, but I didn't know. He was going to go out and just flame out. I didn't know what was going to happen there, but that was my take.
All right. Other scorers, please. Anybody else who's still with us?
I'm here. I give them both a 9 across the board because, you know, they get people
no
talking.
You have
I'll
give you 9.
They get people talking. They get people, you know, discussing and hashing and rehashing and arguing with each other, and I like that. I think
Did
it's good.
And tweeting.
Because I would agree with that. She said they get people talking and disgusting. I would agree with that.
They get people talking over each other.
Yeah.
And disgusting.
We're women. Women do that.
That's not true.
You haven't watched The View, Rayanne.
You know what,
why
Margo,
would you?
I work.
That's trash, Margo.
And,
don't watch that
and,
stuff.
Yeah, what are you watching that stuff for? That's not real news.
I TiVo it, and then I watch it at night, and they talk over each other all the time.
I work at night, too, so it's no place in my life.
Oh, Ryan's working 24/7. Next on Compassionate HR.
She's a working girl.
Who else do we have?
I keep hearing Paul Paris making ungodly noises.
I'm just sitting here going,
there you
Paul
go.
Paris.
I give Animal a 7. I give Animal a 7. I'll give, who was the guest? Oh, Mike Raymer. I'll give him a
4.
I give Raymer a 4. I haven't called in a while. I listened to some of the jokes, but it was like I just went back to October of 2009 and was listening to the same show. He answered no questions, and he basically answered every question with a question. And, you know, if you want to hear anything more, you got to pay for it.
My esteemed host, I respectfully disagree. Now I want to give my score. I give Raymer a 9. This guy's got a lot of good stuff to say. I don't care what you think of him. He's got a lot of good stuff to say.
Can I interrupt for a second? I'm just coming back for a second. Somebody sent me a message on Twitter. I forgot to open the new lines. I didn't think anyone was calling in. There's two people. I just opened their lines. Sorry. I'm off again.
Who
See
are the
you, honey.
Thanks, Animal.
Raymer's got a lot of good stuff to say and never gets the chance to say it.
Well,
and
you
I don't
can't
think
give a guy a 9 because he could say stuff. If
he begins
to
say stuff and he's cut off. No, no, no. I know
That's
what he's
right.
about to say. And I can tell it from the way he begins, but he gets cut off all the time.
He's right.
As does everybody.
Let me make a note. Janice Worthington, giving scores based on what the guest should have or could have said. Okay, 9.
No, Janice Worthington, based on what the guest begins to say and never gets to finish.
Okay,
yep.
So now we're giving scores on what the show could have been, had it
yeah,
been
I,
allowed.
What
to
the, no, what
I'm
the show started to
up
be, but never got a chance to become.
I need to redo my score then. I didn't know we could do on what it could have been.
What started
hey,
to be, sorry
to
never bust got
in,
a chance
is
to become.
Is my line open yet?
Who is this?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Derek, Technical Stress. How are you folks?
Hey, man,
he's my Higher Friday guy.
Okay, enough on the Higher Friday stuff. Okay.
Hey, let's give him a dog.
Janice did not give us an animal show score. An animal.
Well, just throw in numbers. Just throw in numbers out. They don't matter.
Janice.
His name is Derek Stolpa. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, my God.
Hi. Thanks, Margo. How are you folks? It's finally good to hear your voices. And I had a couple things during the show that struck a note. And I know, Bill, you sent me a message about my profile being confused.
Okay.
What was confused about that, and what do you recommend?
No, I just think. Oh, do you want me to answer that one?
Yeah.
So I'd just say if I look at your bio, you put two things in there, and I'm not trying to take Animal's bio review job, but I had a quick look at your bio to follow you, and you said that you were a stay-at-home dad, but then you also said you were a job seeker. I think if I was looking at you from a hiring point of view, I'd be confused about whether you are a job seeker or you want to be a stay-at-home dad. So I think one or the other in your bio.
I think that's a helpful comment. I could see that.
I do too.
Nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home dad, though. But I mean, is that
no? Nothing wrong with that at all. I just think if you're looking for if you're promoting yourself as a job seeker,
take that out.
To also promote, take the stay-at-home dad bit out.
Just take it out.
Yeah, because a woman's not going to say she's a stay-at-home mom, but I'm also a job seeker.
I mean, you have to say what you can do for the employer, not what you want, but what you can do for them.
I think what I'm trying to do is kind of split it into half. And one of the things that I've really struck up some great conversations with a lot of executives and trying to work around HR, because HR is just my complete killer. Is trying to get to understand these people both on a personal level, and Twitter can be used two ways. It can be used both professionally and personally. I've actually had calls from people that share common interests and introduce me to other people, which has been very beneficial. Now, I'm not a full-time stay-at-home dad as to where I'm sitting back and I'm just casually looking for a job. It's what I'm doing while I'm in transition, which I think is respectful, but unfortunately, I think from a recruiter and a employer standpoint, I think that may be hurting me.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, you know, I just put on my bio, I think it's good to put something personal. I just put dad on there or
all it means is you're
to
not
be a good dad or
right
something
now.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I was just confused about what you were. That's all. That's why I said
okay, I'm going to say something from the EEOC perspective. An employer is not allowed to ask you about your marital status or whether or not you have children.
Unless you come out and say it already. He's already put it out there, Margo. He's already put it out there that he's a stay-at-home dad. You can
but he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to or should.
I know.
Maybe he wants to.
Well, I show it, Lois, with a level of commitment. If you've got a family to provide for, you know that person may be committed to the employment, unlike some contractors with a history like mine. They may choose and jump ship after 6 months or 12 months.
Yeah.
Why would
the bottom line...
I think the dad
line,
thing is great. It's the stay-at-home bit that confused me. If I was looking
right.
at you to employ
yeah.
you,
know,
whether you're looking to stay at home or whether you're looking for a job.
The bottom line, Derek, is that while you are looking for a job, use the characters on your profile to sell yourself, your skills. That's
okay.
The three characters, more than three characters, you can use that to put what software you know.
You know, but let's be real here. Derek, not many people are looking at that, man. So I wouldn't put too much, I wouldn't even worry about it.
Let me just make a recommendation.
Sorry.
Why don't you put yourself forward to go on Paul Paris' show, and he'll
right
sort
now,
all
Derek.
This out for you.
Just
go on Paul
Paris'
show,
Derek,
I'm sure he'll help you out.
Aren't.
clam up.
No.
Okay, don't. Janice, would you please give me your score for Animal?
I think she bailed.
Get out of go.
She said nine.
She said nine for Mike, but not for Animal.
So then she obviously has some kind of thing going on with Mike Raymer that she owed Mike to call in. You
paranoia will destroy you.
Well, you have one person cannot just give. I have to scratch that out.
You have to
there you
out.
Go.
Scratch
it out.
Scratch it out.
Because she left. She called back in to give Mike's score, and then she left again.
Yeah, that makes me wonder what was the influence for that.
And you know what? She knows how this works. She knows she has to get two scores, right?
Hey, Derek, you still with us?
I'm here.
I'm here. Can you give us a score, 1 to 10, on the guest and then on Animal's execution of the show as the host?
You know, I'd have to give Animal an 8. I'd have to give the guest a 9.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
But there's something else I wanted to mention that really hit with me, and I wanted to bring this up about salary history. And this is something maybe you folks can help me with. I've had a lot of calls on opportunities, and my skill set falls up in the director and, in some cases, the VP level from a functional standpoint. So I'm getting contacted for positions that pay $120, $150, and up into that area. And as soon as they ask the question of what's your salary history, well, the last two positions I had to take a step down, but I needed to stay employed and keep my skills refreshed. So I'm 75, you know, 85K range. And it seems like once I mention and tell them what my salary was, that's where the conversation dies off. So are you hiring somebody based off of their salary history?
So really, you're more accustomed to a higher salary, but then the more recent positions, you've had to lower your expectations. Now that's making it seem like you're not the guy they're looking for at the higher level, even though that's who you are.
Yeah, but try living in this market over here and trying to find a job back to where you were before. Everything's leaving.
Right.
Hmm.
Racine and Milwaukee.
Will you relocate?
Absolutely, I'd relocate, and that's one of the challenges. I've had offers over for a huge marketplace in San Francisco Bay, perfect skill set. They said $125K. Okay, when we got up to the point of looking at salary, looking at cost of living adjustment, it's a 400.
Cost of living is outrageous there.
In this market in Southeast Wisconsin, $125K would be perfect. Okay,
yeah,
for me.
That's too low in San Francisco. You can't even afford to live there for that.
I did a radius range of 75 miles, and I think the lowest I came was 313%. You know, and then you look over in New Jersey, there's Tyco and some of these other corporations, Mylan Pharmaceutical. There's some places over in Canonsburg looking for exactly my skill set. I plan, manage, and director in the IT category. Okay, I deal in asset management, procurement, vendor management, service delivery. So I cover both the IT and the finance side. Now, when we get down to the point of relocation, it's amazing how even when I'm willing to go through a negotiation on a salary to try to help in with a relocation assistance in that area, there's just no room for movement.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. If you're offering $130,000, if you want to take a chunk of that, if you want to take $15,000 and toss it to me to help.
How do you feel as a candidate when you receive that question?
It's frustrating.
What goes through your mind? What crosses your gut?
Well, you see that you know these positions, and you see that they're still open, and you're passed over because of that opportunity. How much are you willing to fill that role, or how important is it when you see the same rec open for 6 months and 12 months?
Maybe
all
it's
they're
not
doing
important.
Ruling you out over a simple $10,000 bonus or $15,000.
Well, that's a good point. What about creating a value proposition for them? You know, maybe they'll listen to it, maybe they won't. Expressing yourself in just those words.
Right, and that's exactly what I've done in several cases. It's just that they're in their head still trying to draw up local candidates, but at what point do you start looking outside and going back to the client and say, well, this great candidate, he just needs a little assistance, but he's definitely open to the offer.
Listen, Derek, this is Margo, and I think you ought to let a recruiter negotiate some of this for you because that's a recruiter's job. And a recruiter, they will be cherry-picking you. I mean, are you willing to move to Fort Wayne, Indiana? The cost of living is very low. Jerry Albright might be able to give you a job.
Sure, I definitely open location. I just
I
haven't.
Mean, Fort right Indiana is beautiful. So is Ohio. Gorgeous, in fact.
Well, I think Derek is visible enough out there that recruiters are probably connecting with him. You know, he's just not in, you know, for every big IT department, you know, there might be 300 employees. There's one guy that does what he does, or maybe a couple in there. Am I right, Derek?
Well, right, and it's different. There's always the power struggle. I've worked directly from with C-level people, both the CFOs and the CIOs, as part of balancing both the procurement side, dealing with the vendors, managing the spend, and then over into the side of logistically handling the flow of assets and software through the company, more in a functional management. What I'm seeing right now is they're calling me a special niche, but really that fits more of a director role of what this new position I've seen now is called an IT category that balances both sides. And there's always a rift between the CIO and the CFO. The CIO wants the toys, he wants things to run smoothly, the CFO is more cost conscious. And because I've had that balance of working under areas, that's caused a little bit of reluctance on some part to move forward as a candidate. They want one or the other.
Derek, this is Rayanne, and I actually had a similar situation personally where my salary history as of late, due to the downturn in the market, was much lower than I had experienced in the past. And when it came to
negotiating my salary. Let's not turn this into the Oprah show.
Oh, shut up. And that question came back to me, you know, and I just said, I know what I'm worth, and I know what my job is worth, and this is what I need to be paid.
Right. There you go.
So
how was that met? How was that attitude met, Rand?
Okay, when can you start?
Okay, good.
Hey, Derek, this is Margo. There was a new software called Verbal Summary that Jerry Albright has created. It's very powerful. And he used to let Hire Friday people use it on their resume.
Hey, Jerry, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Hey, okay, fine. We just talked the other week about that, that you have that you're selling. Margo, Jerry and I connected about a week ago and had a real good discussion.
Okay, Jerry, educate my community because I know they're listening about what Verbal Summary is.
I'd love to. Very simply, it is your resume with a play button on the top. The client clicks the play button while they're looking at your resume, and they get to listen to you, the person, talk about your background and what you bring to the table. You know, for just a couple minutes. I mean, it's not a 60-minute diatribe of your rereading your resume, but it just really adds the personality and that whole personal side of who you are, and it makes you stand out among all the resumes of pretty similar people. How's that, Margo?
That's excellent.
Okay.
I'd also like you to say a little something about why audio is better than video. You covered this in my blog post, but just tell my community.
Yeah, I'd love to. I don't think people are hired based on how they look, but they're certainly hired based on how they can communicate and talk about their background and strengths. So I think how you look really has nothing to do with it, but how articulate you are. What's that?
Reimer will give you some stats on that if you give him another
Hey, can somebody do me
64.7% of...
Wait, can I talk about Broadbean now?
Yeah, Broadbean!
We haven't had an ad for Broadbean.
I was kidding.
Can somebody do me a Twitter favor?
No, I like Broadbean!
Can somebody do me a Twitter favor and get these scores out there, please?
What are they?
The guest, 6.75.
Okay, how do we get a percentage? Never mind. Go ahead. Animals?
I know.
Oh, I'd cut that out of the tape.
Okay.
I really would.
Well, go
Animal 6.875.
Okay.
Oh, we almost had a 9er in there.
What was that?
Almost had a 9er in there.
Yeah.
Too many nines. There were too many nines in there.
That was Maureen.
It was Margo, too.
Did you guys know I went camping at Maureen's house?
Yes, and I'm so jealous that I didn't get to come visit you.
We had a great time.
Did she let you use the
You know, Brianna keeps talking about Hannah, so we call her Hannah from Indiana.
Yeah, they hit it off pretty well.
I'm going to camp out at Maureen's Nest.
Hannah
likes
not
welcome.
Being the littlest girl for once. She really enjoyed that.
I'm going to camp out at Hyatt Regency.
Yeah. Well, you guys are all I appreciate you all hanging out on the call, and
that was fun.
I have work to do.
It's
awesome.
Tweet it out. Bye.
Thanks, Jerry.
You know,
good
I must
job.
Say, my life since getting off of Twitter has just been fantastic. Twitter sucks.
Oh,
I'm gonna tweet
no,
that for you.
No, it doesn't. I'm telling my people they can get a job on Twitter. So
no,
no
they
it
can't.
Doesn't.
No,
oh,
they
yes.
Stop
Hell
lying,
yes,
people,
they
Margo.
Can. yes, they
it's
can.
It's a farm.
But you love Facebook.
Yes, they can.
Now, I've always used Facebook, but
yeah, Jerry's a Facebook.
What's bugging me is the
about
whole
6 hours a day now.
No.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah. What's bugging me is all the Twitter feed now into my LinkedIn main page. It's like,
Jerry,
shut it off. Sick of it.
Jerry, I want you to check in and hire the people in the Hire Friday community. I want all my recruiters
Send me any Java developers you have.
I've got one.
The other people, I can't help them out. I mean,
I've got a Java developer. I got somebody I can send you.
Prove it.
Margo, there's somebody to...
I want a finder's fee.
Yeah.
Let's start with getting the right person on my desk. I've always paid everybody very well.
Awesome. I
That's
did.
The truth.
You're
Jerry
good.
Does pay. Pays well.
Yeah, Maureen knows. Except I don't pay for camping fees. If I'm having a job, it's free.
He loses struts.
Where do I
have to pay? The aftermath.
I've been camping and having a good time for the last month. It's great.
Oh,
nice.
It's all because I don't have to sit here in front of my computer and tweet.
Yeah, really. How was the camping trip last week?
Oh, it was awesome.
Was it? Good.
Yeah.
Kids have a good time?
Had a great time.
Wonderful.
Swimming and fishing all day. Going down
Wonderful.
To the camp store to buy 2 cent Tootsie Rolls all day.
Yeah, how fun.
Good stuff. Well, take it easy, everybody. I'll be seeing you all around.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank
right.
you. Good job.
Bye.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Margo.
Everyone gone?
Oh, we done?
Yeah. See you all, guys.
All right. Take care, Bill.
Take care. Cheers. Bye.